Hi, everyone. It's so great to be here. I love Guadec, and it's so awesome to see everyone here. And I've already met a bunch of people that I've only ever spoken to on IRC. That's always a really awesome thing. It's great to see our friends from Asia here. You've come a long way, guys, so it's great to have you. This talk is basically meant to be a bit of a kind of overview of where I see us in terms of developing the GNOME 3 user experience. So I'm mostly going to be talking about design. A talk with this title, I could have come at it from different directions. I could have talked about marketing, for example. But design is what I do. If I assume that most people here know who I am, but if you don't, I'm a member of the so-called design team, so I spend my days trying to figure out how to make GNOME better, and I'm involved in pretty much every aspect of GNOME, from the shell, settings, applications, all that stuff. So I feel like I'm involved in enough things to have a pretty good sense of what's going on and what needs to happen next. The other inspiration for this talk, I suppose, was things I've read online over the past 6 months or so, with people being a bit unsure about where we're going and what's coming up and what's going to be next. And personally speaking, I think it's pretty clear where we're going, and I think we've got quite a lot to look forward to, and there's some awesome things going on. So I wanted to talk a bit about that to give people a clearer idea of what they can expect from GNOME in the future. It should be said that what I'm going to say here isn't anything new. If you're closely involved in GNOME, most of this stuff will be already familiar to you, but I'm going to try and bring it together in a kind of cohesive way. So this talk is probably going to be most interesting to those people who maybe aren't kind of involved in the very kind of core of what we're doing. One clarification before I start. I'm talking about the future here. I'm not kind of looking forward 5 or 10 years. I'm not looking for, I'm not thinking about the, some kind of post-PC future or anything like that. The future I'm interested in is the immediate future. So the next 12 to 18 months. So I think that's tangible. It's something that we can touch. It's something that we can talk about during this Guadec. We can think about, where do we want to be when we meet next year in Strasbourg? And I think that's a more kind of useful way to look at the future, because it's very easy to get kind of caught up in some kind of idle speculation about what the future might hold. So what I really wanted to talk about is, what kind of future are we making, and what are we doing right now that will affect the future? So any talk about the future, I suppose, has to start with an idea of, where do we want to be? Where are we aiming? What do we want the future to be like? And I don't want to dwell on this for too long, but I think it's important to say that I think GNOME has a really strong guiding vision. I think when you talk to the members of this community, it's quite inspiring to hear what motivates them. And if anything, we are really motivated. Everyone works so hard, and I think that's because they believe in what we're doing. And I think the thing that motivates me, and speaking to other members of the GNOME project, what seems to motivate other people is the idea of freedom. And I think that's really essential to what we're doing. And when I talk about freedom here, I don't just mean producing free software. I don't mean releasing code that happens to be GPL'd or conforms to the free software definition in some shape or form. I think to GNOME, freedom is more than that. It's about being independent. We don't have... we're not owned by a particular company. We have an independent foundation. I think these are really important both to how we work and what we're trying to achieve. And that is to create software that anyone can participate in equally. Everyone has the equal opportunity to participate. And I think what I've experienced personally, and I suspect what a lot of people in the room have experienced, is the amazing potential that that has for creating opportunities, both opportunities for individuals and for companies and organizations. And what we're aiming to do in Gnome is to extend those opportunities to as many people as possible. We want to put free software in people's hands, put it on their machines, let them touch it, let them use it. And I think there are very few free software projects that are trying to do that in the way that Gnome is. We work across the stack, we work with other organizations to make this happen. And so when we're thinking about the future, I think the measure that we use for ourselves is, are we advancing that cause? Are we bringing free software to more people? Are we making free software more relevant? And so when I go through what we're trying to achieve, I think that's what we're trying to do, right? The Gnome Project was founded over 15 years ago, and our project came about because we thought because there was a feeling within free software that it was at risk, that there needed to be a fully free, what they called back then, a desktop environment. And I don't think that mission has changed. In fact, I think it's even more important now than it ever has been before. So, you know, when we look around and see which kind of open source projects there are, they're kind of, you know, things don't look great. I mean, we have things like Android, which are supposedly open source, but I don't think they conform to our notion of freedom. So really the challenge to us right now is the same as it was when our project first began. And I think there's a real kind of desire to make the world a better place here. And that's a desire that I think we have to fulfill through the actions that we take as a community. So our need in the world is as important as ever. I think we have a really powerful opportunity to do something important in terms of bringing freedom to more people. So let's, you know, I think the important message there is that, you know, we can believe in a better future, that we can make for the world, and Gnome can be a part of that. So that's kind of where we want to be. So the question then becomes, well, are we moving in that direction? And I think to a large extent we are, and we've made some amazing progress. And there's a lot about the future that we can be confident about. You know, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on in this project, and we've established a really good track record for ourselves. And the key requirement, I think, for us is to make sure that Gnome 3 continues to be relevant, continues to be interesting. We want more people to want to use Gnome, we want more organizations to participate in the Gnome project, and we want more people to want to distribute Gnome. And I think we're doing quite a good job of that, to be honest. So one thing we can be confident about for the future is that Gnome 3 will be even better than it is now. So throughout the Gnome 3 series, each release has been a real step up. Like, you know, I write the release notes for Gnome, and every release I write about this big long list of new features. And that's really exciting, and I think the user experience that we're providing has been getting better and better, and that's something that I see personally when I'm using it, but I think the quality of the feedback that we've been getting about what we're producing is getting better all the time. And I think we can be reasonably confident that that trend will continue in the future. So if we're thinking about where we'll be 12 or 18 months down the line, I think one thing that we can say with a reasonable amount of confidence is that we're going to have a better product than we have now, which is pretty awesome because I think it's already pretty good. And if it's going to be getting better with each release, then you know, there's a lot of reason to be optimistic that I think more and more people are going to want to use GNOME 3 as a result of the work that we're doing. I think it should be emphasized that those improvements and the possibilities that we have for the future have come about through the hard work of the GNOME project and all the contributors who work on GNOME. You know, we could have very easily been in the situation where GNOME stagnated after 3.0. That hasn't happened. If anything, the development rate has increased. And that has been largely through the dedication and the hard work of the people in this project. So I think there needs to be, you know, I want to say thank you, and I want to say well done, because, you know, the dedication and the commitment of the people I work with on this project has just been absolutely amazing. And we could have been in a much worse situation than we are today. It could have been, you know, things could have been really terrible, but the fact is that it's the community and their hard work that has brought us to the position we're in today, where we have a really great product that's getting better all the time. And, you know, I'm just always totally blown away by how hard everyone works, and people really going beyond the call of duty. You know, when I think about people like Debashi and Jasper and Giovanni, who just like do like amazing things like every release, like they're pulling us forward into the future, and those people ought to be congratulated. And I think it's really down to us to let those people know how much we appreciate the work that they're doing. So, yeah. So if you see any of those people at this conference, buy them a beer. I think there've been a lot of promises for beer, particularly for Florian. I think like he's gonna be suffering if all the promises like actually become true at some of these parties we're gonna have. So, you know, well done, keep going. You know, we're gonna be getting better all the time. I think the next thing we can be confident about for the future is that at some point GNOME 3 will be done. All right, that's kind of, I mean, I don't mean done in the sense of like we can all like go on a permanent holiday because there's no more work to be done. But it is true to say that GNOME 3 is a work in progress. And I think if you're less familiar with all the initiatives that we're doing in GNOME, it looks like each release we have a random new set of features and we like change some things, and it's like this kind of 6-month churn. But in actual fact, what we're doing is we're building something. And for those of us who are designing GNOME 3 and trying to chart the course forward, it's clear that we're making really good progress in terms of putting the individual building blocks together for a new experience. And a lot of those core building blocks are now in place. You know, we've made some really good progress. So I think the core user experience, like the shell and settings, that's been a focus for a while, and that's been getting better and better. And now we're looking at the other parts that still need to be completed, and that's mostly in the application space. And I'll talk a little bit about our progress there later on. But the important point to make right now is that at some point this will be done, right? At some point we'll get to a stage where GNOME 3 is a very cohesive, integrated experience where everything has a clear place, where there are basic capabilities that we've filled in, where we have a set of consistent, really nice core applications. And I think when we reach that mark, we will kind of appreciate a qualitative shift in what we're providing. Because when you use something that is integrated as a whole, when it's consistent, when it's coherent, when it feels like a system that has been designed as a whole, it will feel like just awesome, basically. Like, I think everyone will turn around at some point and think, oh, so this is what they were doing all this time. This is really cool. And that's kind of the point that we're working to now. And I don't think we're that far off. I think it's something that we can hope to achieve in the next 12 to 18 months. And again, we're making good progress. So at some point, we'll get to this point where GNOME 3 will like feel much more like a coherent product than it is now. And as a designer, I find that to be a really exciting prospect. And I'm going to talk in a bit about how we can get there. So we've been making good progress. The experience is getting better. I think we have a lot to look forward to over the next 12 to 18 months. But there's obviously challenges. There's tasks that need to be taken care of. There's obstacles that we need to overcome. And in the rest of the talk, I'm going to describe a little bit about what I see as the next steps in terms of the design of GNOME 3. And my hope is to try and kind of subtly hint to people about what they need to be working on next. So as I was alluding to a second ago, I think the key challenge for us right now is to round out the core application set. You know, there's still work to be done on settings and on the shell, but apps are what people really need. That's where we provide the main functionality, the main features that people use on a daily basis. So this is a list of the existing core application set. And I've kind of grayed out the applications that don't kind of exist yet. And by exist yet, I mean haven't been released as part of the GNOME release. So there are some things in here that code exists. You can run these applications, but they're not something that we bundle up and allow people to install just yet. So, So that's the situation right now with the grayed out kind of things that we're missing. And this is where I'd like to see us heading. And what you can see here is that, you can maybe go back and forwards and kind of see the difference. But some existing applications have been grayed out here, and that's because what we're looking to do is consolidate them or integrate their functionality in existing applications. There are new applications here that we're hoping will come to life. And I'll go through this in a little more detail. So this is my kind of to-do list for the core application set, and I've divided it into three categories: missing, forgotten, and rogue. So the missing applications are things that we don't have in any shape or form right now. And again, what I'm talking about here is in a state where they can be released. So there's music, photos, software, notes, transfers, calendar. Now we don't need, some of these are probably lower priority, but the ones towards the top of the list here I think are pretty high priority. Maybe if you ask someone else, you get a different answer to this, but that's the way it goes. It should be said that we're making fantastic progress on this. I mean, if we talk about having vision and direction, I mean, this is a really good illustration of how we're working as a community, because there's a lot of applications on here that are actually being worked on and aren't that far from release. So music is happening, photos, software, notes, calendar, all of those things exist right now, are under active development. So like, that's five new applications straight away, which is like pretty amazing when you think about it. So the second category of applications that I think we need to be working on are the forgotten apps, the apps that time forgot. And there's a few of these around GNOME, and they're kind of, you know, they're gathering dust, and they look a bit like they're from another era. And I think one of the challenges for us as a community is to make sure that these applications don't stay forgotten forever, because one of the important things about providing a really high quality user experience is making sure that every aspect of that experience is of high quality. You know, it doesn't reflect well on us if someone is using the apps that they like and then they use some utility and it's like, whoa, what's this? So, and particularly some of these applications down the bottom of the list, they've got very little attention in recent years, and I think that's because, you know, they're little utilities that people don't tend to use a huge amount, but it's really up to us to make sure that we get them up to scratch. And it should be said that we have designs for all of this, so if anyone wants to work on any of this, then please, please do. And we will give you guidance, we will give you mock-ups, we will and hugs and beer and everything else. About the two applications at the top of this list, I say forgotten, sorry Bastian. Bastian is working with videos, that is happening. So I don't mean forgotten as in, you know, the maintainers have forgotten. They're forgotten in terms of looking a bit old-fashioned. And then Rogue, which is possibly, I could have put that better. It's not meant to be disparaging, I promise. So these are the applications which I don't feel should be in the core application set as they are now. Some of these, what we want to do is consolidate them. So for example, the system monitor and disk usage analyzer, their scope is similar enough to combine them into a single application, and we've got some rough designs for what we're calling usage. So that'll be really nice. Just cutting down the number of little utilities that we have is generally helpful. Things like file roller is something that we'd really like to just integrate that directly into Nautilus. So if you're not familiar with it, file roller is for archives, for extracting them and opening them and that kind of thing. And I think we actually have a GSUC student working on that this summer. So eventually I'd kind of hope that file roller would kind of just disappear. And you wouldn't, it can exist, you know, it can carry on existing for people that want to use it, but we want native support for that in Nautilus, so people don't need a separate tool. And likewise for events and IavGnome, they definitely have a future as applications, but I think what we'd really like to do is integrate their functionality directly into files, so that's where we do previewing and viewing, and that would again mean fewer applications that people have to deal with, be more convenient because it's integrated into the file manager, and I would hopefully free up the developers of those applications to maybe do more interesting things than they're doing now. So that's kind of one of the major to-do list items right now, and there are definitely applications on here that are in development and need a helping hand. I think Notes and Calendar are good examples of that. There are also applications where we have design and they're looking a bit kind of old-fashioned and we want some help, and I think Cheese and the character map are probably quite good examples of that. This wouldn't be a design talk without some mock-ups, so key mock-ups. This is what Empathy looks like now, kind of old-fashioned, multiple windows, there's all kinds of issues with this. We're wanting to shift to a much more modern conversation-based application. We have designs for this. This is kind of what we'd like it to look like, so much more based around content rather than contacts, and a single window application where you can easily view history and things like that, which you can't really do nowadays. The character map, so many things here. Kind of hard to use, doesn't look very modern, very old-fashioned, shiny, nice application that is really focused on what people are interested in, which is different kinds of characters. That would be great. So if anyone wants to work on that, get in touch. So applications, one of the things that I think that is crucial to the future of the GNOME 3 user experience. Jimmack's muttering, I'm worried. The next major to-do list item is concerns the toolkit. And again, this is another area where we have been working in a coordinated manner, a driven manner towards a specific goal, which is to produce great applications based on a modern set of design patterns and making it easy for other people to produce their own applications. And the toolkit is really essential to that. And this project has been going on for some time. You know, very early in the GNOME 3 series, we started prototyping new application patterns, and they've been evolving as we've figured out what works and what doesn't. And those design patterns have been fed into new widgets, new user interface elements. And a lot of those have started to appear now. I mean, we're making great progress. Already in GTK, we have new widgets like the Listbox and Revealer and Stack, if you know what those things are, which make it much, much easier to create a modern GNOME application. So one of the challenges for us over the next year, and hopefully even sooner, is to get all those new widgets that we need for the new applications into GTK. And this is kind of this is my top list. And again, you know, we're making good progress. Header bars exist. We're hoping to get those for 3.10. Grids. We're talking about a replacement there for the icon view. There is a prototype widget already that exists for that. Tabs and popovers are a little more speculative, but those two top items are really important. And this work is really important, not just to enable us to create applications, but also to enable us to build an effective developer experience. We can't document how to build a GNOME application until we have the widgets that are necessary to be able to build it. We can't create tools to create those applications if the widgets don't exist. You know, we want to have things like template applications and tools to generate those templates. Yeah. Yeah. We have, there's a list on the wiki. So just add to the list. I've been building that over the past couple of weeks. So this is really important both for the user experience and the developer experience. And the sooner we can do this, the sooner we can start documenting. So I've been working on a new version of the HIG. Once we have these widgets, then we can start tying all this up. We can put it online. We can show people how to make their own applications. And I think, people will suddenly think at this point, oh, right, so this is what they've been doing. They haven't just been kind of messing around and playing with new kinds of applications that no one else can build. And that's really important. So again, mock-ups very quickly, because that's what I do. These are the header bars. You can see them already in some shape or form in some GNOME applications right now. It's essentially a combined toolbar and window title bar. And it has all kinds of properties which make it appropriate for a modern application. So one of the most obvious ones is that it cuts down on the height of the application. Traditionally we had toolbar, menu bar, and then window title bar, which was lots and lots of Chrome. So we have less Chrome. It's also designed to be much more dynamic, so something that you often see in modern applications is different views and paging and switching between different perspectives on content. The header bar is designed to allow this, so it will update depending on what you're looking at. And you can see this in the new designs. You know, try documents, try music or photos, and you'll get a clearer idea of how header bars fit into the picture. These are tabs, or a new tab widget that we've been working on from a design point of view. Yes. One of my tasks for this Guardec is to sit down with John and Jakob and whoever else wants to join us and hash out the final details of the design. I think we're about 80% there, but this will be really fantastic. It's something we really need. So two major to-do items: applications, toolkits. And the final one is a biggie, and it's not something I'm really qualified to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, hopefully not in any technical detail. Since this project began, we've always struggled with application definition and distribution. It's been our Achilles heel since the very beginning. It is so hard to develop an application for GNOME and get it out to users. And throughout our history, we have suffered for this. Our users have suffered, our application developers have suffered. And I think now is the time for us to take on that challenge and come up with a proper framework for developing and distributing applications for GNOME. And this is something that we've been talking about a lot. We had a really long BOF about it last year. We talked about it more at the application developer experience Hackfest in Brussels. And it's something that is being worked on. Leonard will be talking about his work on the sandboxing side of it. We have a lot of, since we talked about this last year, we've solidified our plans a lot. I think we have a fairly clear roadmap of what needs to happen to get us where we need to be in this regard. And we're going to be having a BOF on it here at Guadec. And this is just so important for our future. We have to make it so that GNOME is relevant to application developers. And that means providing them with stable API and ABI. And there is a user experience aspect to this as well, because, you know, I don't think it's acceptable for us to be saying to our users that the application that you're using has a lifespan of 6 months. I mean, that's just crazy. And that's what we've been doing for the entire history of this project. So we have to sort this out for our users in terms of giving them stability in terms of the applications that they're using. The other thing is that we really need to take on challenges around privacy and security with regards to applications. Right now, our security story is just kind of non-existent, and the sandboxing stuff that Leonard is working on is key there. And I really feel that privacy and security are an important part of the user experience. And given that we're positioned as a free software solution, then we ought to be doing a better job at that. And this also has implications for the user experience in terms of performance and stability and things like this. Once you've sandboxed applications, you can decide how much of your system's resources that they get. You can make sure that focused applications can always run quickly and smoothly and snappy and everything else. This isn't something we can do right now. So if we can get all of these things in place, I think it will genuinely transform both the user experience and the developer experience. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done here. There's a lot of groundwork. I know talking to people who actually understand these things that there's a lot of kind of basic things that we need to do to get our software in shape to make this happen. But I think what we're going to hope to do during the BOF is come up with a roadmap for the things that are outstanding. And if you're a maintainer of any GNOME module, there's probably something that you can do here to help. So, you know, chip in, get involved. I think this is the future for us. I really believe that. So that's kind of it. I think there's a lot of things we've got to look forward to. We've been making really good progress. I think, you know, GNOME 3 compared to a year ago or 18 months ago is just so much better. And if you project that forward into the future, I don't see any reason why we can't continue on that trajectory, with the caveat that we need to make sure that our contributors remain committed and motivated. And that's something that everyone can help with by encouraging them, congratulating them for their hard work. And speaking as a designer, I think this is kind of a critical point, because we've been working on GNOME 3 for a while now. We've had these kind of long-running projects, and quite a few of them are starting to come to fruition in one shape or form. You know, we have these new applications, we have these new widgets, we have application sandboxing being worked on right now. Like all of these things that you might have thought were impossible 18 months or 2 years ago. And the challenge for us now is to bring those long-term projects to fruition and really turn GNOME 3 into the experience that I think we've all hoped that it would be, and I think could be like potentially game-changing if we manage to get there. So that's pretty much it. I'm around for the whole conference. We have boffs on all of these topics that I've talked about. So talk to me, talk to the other developers. If there's any way that you can make some of the things that I've talked about happen, then that would just be amazing. And you know, I look forward to continuing the conversation over the rest of the conference. So thanks. Do we have time for questions? Don't ask me about technical stuff. Any questions?
Do you feel that the new tab design is a point where it's microphone, so the recording
With the new tab design, do you feel that's getting to a point where it's ready to start being implemented, or is it still kind of in the early stage? Because I know on like the tabs design page, there's still like a lot of options.
There are, but I think all the key behavior is now decided upon. The one sticking point is the visuals. So what you'll have seen in the mockups is different visual treatments of the tabs, but in terms of actually how we want them to work, I think we're pretty much decided. And I think one of the things I need to do quite soon is document all of that. We've been talking about this for a while, but it's a hard design problem, and we've been dragging our heels a bit. But I think it'll be really, I think it's really important because the current tabs they've got so many issues with them, and they're really hard to implement as well. So, yeah. Hey, Jeff.
Hello, Alan. Couple of questions. How do you feel? What's the difference between the icon view and the new grid thing, and why should I use it instead of the icon view? I'm sorry if it's been documented everywhere, all over the place, but it's kind of the first time I actually hear about it.
Yeah, so the main thing about it is that we want it to be responsive. So right now with any icon view you get uneven spacing. You don't get all this allocated space used. The icons are always the same size, or the thumbnails are always the same size. And when you compare that to what you see on the web,
So you basically want the cells to be not all the same size, the size to be the same across the columns.
The cells might be different sizes, but the key point is that they should resize fluidly. So if you have a small window, you should get an appropriate number of columns and an appropriate cell size. If you then expand the window, you'll get more columns, but maybe the cells will adjust in size to fill the space in an effective way. So it'll be a kind of more fluid, responsive design.
Okay.
I mean, one really good example of this is photos, where you really want your thumbnails to be as big as possible and to fill the entire space. And right now you get a kind of a big margin at one side because it's not like using all the space, and you get kind of big spaces between them. And if you make the window resize, it just reflows rather than optimizing for the particular dimensions of the window. If you're familiar with the list box, it's kind of designed to be a grid companion to that. So another issue with the current icon view is it's very hard to pack widgets inside it. So in some of the designs we have things like thumbnails or icons with switches below them, and we had this in clocks. It's basically impossible to do right now. So,
well, one of the biggest concerns that most applications developers have with the icon view and the tree view is that it's kind of hard and convoluted to use. So I'm hoping in some way that it's not going to be any harder than it is to use the icon view with the models.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm actually concerned about performance because icon view in GTK 3 has a pretty terrible performance. If you try to rapidly add 600 items in it, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
So just keep that in the back of your mind, folks.
I mean, it's an opportunity to look at all of those things, and I would hope that we would. Companies kind of making noises.
So the goal of GTK itself is to get rid of cell renderers, like not tomorrow, but everything like tree view and icon view is something that was a good idea 5 years ago. And we find the limitations of it now. And Listbox is the first step in the direction of replacing it and finding ways that we can do all the things we want to do. And finding a replacement for the icon view is a second step. Of course, this is all performance relevant, so it's going to take time, and we need to figure out the right APIs so you don't run into the same problems again where you have all these issues with the new widgets, because writing widgets that contain lots of stuff is complicated. But we're going to throw away cell renderers and use real widgets, and then we're going to make it fast. But we're not done yet. That's that. So come join us, Hellbug. You're invited.
That's the postfix to every talk of Guava.
Always. You do it.
Anyone else? I'm glad that everything I said was so uncontroversial. Right now.
You want to pass it?
Owen. Find you.
I was just wondering about your thoughts about today's, this morning's keynotes and what I think Ethan, what he said about the community and how to go forward with the GNOME project. What are your thoughts?
I think I just said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Look at the development progress of GNOME. I mean, each release is like pretty amazing. I mean, compared to some of the GNOME 2 releases, and we're doing so much more than we used to, and things are getting better all the time as a result of that. I think we've got reason to be optimistic on that basis, but you know, obviously there are challenges, and I think, as a community, we're facing up to those. We've got plans. We've got kind of long-term initiatives that are going on and making good progress that aim to address some of the issues that we currently face. And I think that the challenge for us is to get behind them and to just like keep moving at the speed that we have been.
Yeah, because personally, I feel the GNOME community is like friendly and welcoming atmosphere, but yeah, apparently some people from outside the community don't agree. So yeah.
Well, I mean that's an old problem. I mean, you know, talk to Sri about this. Yeah. He's been trying to deal with that since the GNOME 1 days. So there's nothing new there. Maybe I should have given a marketing talk, and we could have talked about that instead. We have work to do there. But again, I mean, the marketing team is more active now than it has been in years, and we're doing a lot of things at Squadec that will, I think, help with that. We've got some great volunteers in the room who are blogging, who are going to be doing interviews, who are going to be hopefully doing some videos and stuff so that we can show the world that we're actually not, like, demonic and are actually real, nice, friendly people. So, yeah. Well, yeah.
Hi. What's the web application story, and is it separate or distinct from the application distribution story, like single instance web apps if you want to have Chrome as a Gmail as a single instance web app, for example?
We've made some progress there. I mean, Epiphany does have web apps. I think one thing that we've been talking about and that we'd like to do is integrate web apps into whatever kind of software distribution framework that we come up with. And I've been talking to Richard about this, who's working on software, and you know, we really want to have web apps in there alongside native apps. So, you know, you can search for Twitter and you will get the Twitter web app. And a lot of the technology to do that exists already. It's actually not that hard to do. And I think that's, you know, I think that's really valuable. I think it could be really powerful for us, you know. I use web apps, they're great. And you know, I mean, that's thanks to all the work that the Epiphany guys are doing, and they've just done so much amazing stuff. Like we have like WebKit 2 now, and you can set up single instance kind of web apps already. So, Andreas, do you want?
Yeah, I was a bit curious about the details of a dream of application set, right? The thing we ship.
And, yeah.
So I was a bit curious about like you had the list of applications which are more of their very like local centered with a local file system, right? Instead of like the new guys that have like your local file system and also like the files in the cloud. So I was curious, like, if you could give any details on your thoughts about like how the local like PDFs would work, for example, because you mentioned briefly like having it embedded in files. Is it like very sketchy right now how that would fit together?
We have. I'm not sure those things are related, but we do have designs for all of this. So it should be said that one of the key goals for the new content applications is to make sure that everything is kind of web-enabled or integrated with online accounts in some way. And this is one of the key things that producing these new applications will give us. You already see it in documents. So in documents, you can view document store on your laptop, but it will also pull in Google Docs or Docs in any other online account that you have. We're aiming to do that with music, with photos, with videos, and that's a really important goal for us, and these new applications will enable us to do it. I think hopefully photos will be released in 3.10 and it will have Flickr support, so you can access all your Flickr photos like direct through your like desktop photos app, which is like pretty awesome, right? But the question about previewing in files, I think, is
I have no idea about it. You just mentioned it, so I was curious about the details.
I mean, we already have previewing through Sushi.
Right.
We want to make that kind of previewing much better integrated and much more part of the typical workflow of using files. You know, if you want to deal with files, you want to be able to inspect them. You want to know what each file is. And so that requires kind of looking inside the file, right? And so we still want to be improving that experience, making the local solution as good as it can be, and that's what files is for. But then the idea is that we have these other applications that go beyond the local and they integrate stuff that's up in the cloud and that's also on your machine. So, and this is another way in which we're trying to make the applications consistent. So right now, for example, in documents, you can view all your you can see like all your content as like a grid or a list, but you can also actually read each document. So we're looking to have something similar inside Nautilus. But we can talk about that more.
Oh yeah, sorry. Can I ask another one?
Is
it, or are we running out of time?
Here.
No, Bastian, can I have it?
I think I'm going to be asking the question everyone wants to know. Is there a design cabal?
Well, it's kind of, it's the same as the Swedish conspiracy, right? There is no design cabal. There is no Swedish conspiracy. No, I mean, of course not. I mean, it's a funny thing that people talk about this because, you know, it's not how I work. It's not how we think about ourselves. Me and John and Jim Ack and are kind of identified as the designers, but we do lots of other things other than design, and lots of the people who aren't identified as designers are designers. So, like, there's like Cosimo and Giovanni and, you know, all these, you, and everything that we do is available online and free for everyone to look at. You know, you just look at our Git repository and see what's being checked in there. It's not hard to see what we're up to. It's like, there are no secrets. I think, I mean, we don't tend to communicate what we're doing in terms of grand visions. We tend to be looking at each individual step that's next in front of us. But, I mean, anyone can participate. I mean, we've got a bunch of people here, I think, who want to get involved in design.
Me again?
Who I'm going to be spending some time with during the conference. We have design friends from other projects. Jan's here from OwnCloud.
Yay.
We'll be talking to him. There he is. So, like, I mean, so it's really pretty open, and we talk to anyone that we can, and everyone's welcome to participate. So it's easy to see it that way if you don't really have a good sense of what's going on. It's like one of these easy generalizations.
Okay. We can ask him that.
Oh, thank you. All right. Are we done? Okay, well, thanks, everyone.